Hello and welcome to the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Nick.
And you know, it's cold, and I'm sort of grumpy about it. I'm not gonna lie. We had that 60 degree weather last week.
I know.
And then last night, so usually what happens when I work at the brewery is, you know, I go in, it's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, sun's still kind of up, and everything was fine. It was like 50 degrees or whatever, so not 60 degrees, but still kind of nice. And then I usually don't leave the kitchen at all until it's time to go home, or until I take out the trash.
Right.
So last night I come outside at like 9:15 for the first time in a couple of hours. And not only is it cold, like 12 degrees, but it's also snowing. And I just freaking la-di-da out the door with the trash over my shoulder and a t-shirt. And now it's cold in my basement. I'm just grumpy.
It did not snow here.
Well, yeah, when I say snow, I guess I should clarify. It was like not a sprinkling. So flurries, that's the one.
It's like when it's sprinkling rain, but it's frozen. Those are called,
you know what?
Those are called flurries.
I'm grumpy and I'm tired. My brain isn't working.
Such a baby.
I know, I'm a baby today. It's whatever. I don't work tonight, so as soon as I'm done down here, I'm going to go put all my comfy clothes on and get my jammies, and I'm just going to go sit on the couch for a while.
There you go.
So we have something special today. We have something special coming up, but I do want to chat briefly about my lovely daughter, Emma, and the situation that we found ourselves in, which, you know, is not horrible. It's just slightly inconvenient. So we were talking last episode and probably the episode before that too. You know, we're going to be sending Emma to elementary school this year. And so right now she goes to daycare, which is close by, and it's part of we'll put it this way. It's close by, and it's part of a series of daycares that are near us, right? So, but technically, the one that she goes to is the next town over, and the elementary school that she's going to be going to is, like, right down the street. It's in our town. So, the complicated part of it is the daycare that she goes to now does AM and PM kindergarten care stuff.
Right.
You know. But because she's going to be going to the elementary school in this town, that means she would have to go to the other daycare for her after school, you know, / before school care. And they only do after school care. So we would have to absolutely make sure that she gets into the AM kindergarten program for us to be able to even, you know, have any type of aftercare for her in the first place. Which, you know, we'll be able to figure out. It just seems more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah. I mean, are you able to, are you able to apply directly for either AM or PM kindergarten?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you basically, like, the earlier you register, the more likely you are able to get
your choice,
you know, the choice that you want, because after a certain extent, then they just have to start breaking kids up into one or the other based off of, okay, we have this many kids per this many teachers, that sort of thing.
Okay. That makes sense.
So hopefully we're going to get the registration done, like, as soon as we can. I think maybe probably Saturday. Saturday we'll probably do it. But in any case, so hopefully we're doing it early enough. I think we are. I think like late March to early April is not a cutoff, but it's like their, I guess, their entry period or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so we'll see how it goes.
I mean, you know, I talked about it with ours. Ours was a little bit different, obviously, with, you know, doing a charter school where it's pulling from different districts. And, you know, we didn't have to worry about AM or PM because we picked a charter school specifically so we could have, you know, that full day option.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's tough regardless. You know, just trying to figure that out. And it's like when you're going from, you know, daycare or pre-K or whatever, where you know that they're kind of taken care of all day, you know, you pay and they're good. And then it's like, oh, shit, I need to figure out how to completely rearrange our work lives. You know, the timing of pickup and drop off, bus, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's a giant adjustment and it sucks. And
the other thing is, like, during the summer, there are, like, summer camp programs and stuff like that, but I don't know if there is full-time care for kids that age through kindergarten. I don't know. I don't think... I wouldn't think so, just because, you know...
Do you mean at...
Now that they're school age, that...
Do you mean at, like, at the daycare?
Yeah. Like, they have the kindergarten program for before and aftercare, but does that include, you know, do they have a kindergarten age program for during the summer, or would you have to do the summer camp program?
Well, I mean, typically it's just based off my experience, and you know, we both use a YMCA for daycare. So they offer the summer camp is, you know, the kindergarten, between kindergarten and first grade, you know, between basically every grade level, it's the summer camp. So they don't go into the, you know, into the child care center anymore. It's camp. What sucks with that, which we're starting now, it's January and we're already trying to figure out again, you know, camp. And if you guys remember last summer, Sarah and I were able to like work our schedules around and take time off, you know, and balance vacation, and, you know, one of us will take these 2 weeks off and one of us will take these 2 weeks off, just so we don't have to pay out the ass for camp, because camp's not cheap. And neither is before or after school care. So we're already trying to figure it out. Like, Sarah and I were literally talking this morning because she just got her calendar for work, and it's like, okay, well, I can't take this week off. I can't take this week off for her. Mine's flexible. You know, my team, it's kind of like, you know, you put stuff in, you're more than likely going to get it. Hers, they instituted a rule where it's like one person can be off at a time. So it's like, okay, someone already took this, and they hand a calendar around based on seniority. So if you're like lowest person on the totem pole, you get, you know, last choice. So, you know,
that sucks.
So, you know, you're going through the school age stuff. Welcome to the club.
Thanks.
It's going to be so fun. You're going to love it.
I feel like I don't know. I don't know what my work situation is going to be when it comes time to do the summer thing, because that's not going to be this year. We still have one more summer of daycare availability, basically. And then she turns 5 in August, and then September she starts kindergarten. So we're already trying to figure out summer 2019. And it's like, I'm trying to, you know, we were talking about it the other night, and I'm like, well, if I'm still working at the Y part-time, or even if I turn full-time, you know, then maybe I can switch my schedule around to work afternoons. So she'll go to work in the morning, come home at like 12:30, 1:30, something like that. And then I go to work for the evening, basically.
Yeah. You know?
But then that's basically 2 years away, I guess, or a year, whatever, a year and a half. And so I have no idea what my work situation is going to be. I don't know if I'm still going to have two jobs or one job or full time or not, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Dude, it's a lot. Because, you know, yeah. Like you don't know what's going to change.
Yeah.
And that's, great. You know, as I go through and I look at different job opportunities, you know, do I want to, I'm able to be home, you know, pretty much every single day. I can flip my, make my work schedule work where I am home every single day for the bus, put her on the bus. You know, that's like, that's really important, you know, for our situation. So it's like, do I want to sacrifice that? And we've talked about it before. Do I want to sacrifice that for more money? And it's like, sometimes maybe I do. Because right. I mean, yeah. I more money would be fantastic and would make things a heck of a lot easier. But, you know, that's a different story for a different day. Because,
yeah, I mean, we can talk about vacations and bullshit later, but
we have, it's a special episode, so let's not get bogged down with life and shit.
I know, right? Fucking bullshit. This is something that we have been talking about for quite a while. That we've been planning on doing for quite a while.
By quite a while, you mean for 4 years.
Yeah, pretty much since the beginning of our of the podcast in general. What was it, like episode 2 or something like that?
Episode 1 or 2 that we first launched this idea, and we've gone back and forth a lot with, you know, wanting to make this happen. So what are we being mysterious and talking about? Our sitcom dads, basically, tournament. You know, like
Fight Club. Fight Club is what we
That is how it started. Was who would win, right?
Who would win
that
in
is
a
what
fight.
It was. Yeah. I completely forgot that that's what the original idea was. Was who would win in a fight, not who was the best dad on a sitcom.
Right. So we decided to finally take the time to go through with this. And basically what we've done is we've gone through... I would say a pretty comprehensive list of the most popular sitcom dads. We do rank it on popularity. That's important. You know, the sitcom dads who have really given us a lasting impression or lasting memories, that sort of thing. There were... there's one that we left out.
And when we originally did our list... 4 years ago, he was obviously in the conversation
at the top of the list. Yes, I'd say,
like the most famous sitcom dad of all time, and obviously we're talking about Bill Cosby. Which for this, we're not included for obvious reasons.
Yeah, let's just call it what it is: disqualified. Just disqualified.
Yes.
We'll put it that way. So we had to alter the list a little bit. And I think it's important to note that we have included two cartoon sitcom dads. But I think for all intents and purposes, they are as much of an influence of character and that sort of thing. And entertainment as the rest of them.
Yes.
You know. So would you like to tip us off? These are the top eight, basically. We narrowed it down to eight. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna list out these eight, we're gonna talk about them a little bit, and then later on Twitter, you can follow us at PBDadcast, we're gonna have some polls up. So you guys can go to our Twitter page and check out the polls and vote out of the top eight, and that'll give us our seeded ranks, basically. And then we'll just keep on moving forward playoffs.
Let me while we're doing this, let me check something real quick.
Sure.
Because our plan is to do okay. All right, yeah. So we can do four choices on our poll. What we will do, there will be two with the two Twitter polls of groups of four. The top two vote getters from each, they will move on to the semifinals, you know, next week or whatever. We'll have the poll open for a week, I guess. So we will do that. We'll discuss each one's merit. And remember, it's Dad Sitcom Fight Club.
I love the Fight Club aspect of it, because now I keep thinking of Brad Pitt / Crazy Edward Norton, and he's just like hanging around with these guys in a basement somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, getting them to do crazy shit. Yeah. Making soap. Yeah. All right. So I guess we will start off the list, and this is, you know, in no particular order, although I do have my personal favorites, but we'll get to that. Number one on our list is Tim the Tool Man Taylor. An absolute classic. You know, widely regarded as the cocaine cowboy. However, while that may be true, still not as bad as some other people. Did you watch
of course. Yeah, that was Home like Improvement? Growing up, that was like one show where we were allowed to stay up like later on a Tuesday night to watch it. Which was cool.
Yeah, I think by the time I started watching it, because I can't remember what year it started. It was like 89 or 90, something like that. But it had already started. It had already been on for a couple of years by the time I was even old enough to really be interested in television and to like actually understand what was going on and that sort of thing. So a lot of what I saw was like reruns on what was the channel? It's like USA or TLC,
yeah.
TBS or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, that was one of those ones that, you know, we watched a lot of the History Channel and Home Improvement.
I was a big, big fan, you know, growing up watching it.
So we'll move on to the next guy on the list. One that I'll be honest, not 100% familiar with, because I've actually never watched the full episode of this show. So this is something, and I think it's on Netflix, so we'll check it out. Al Bundy. I know. I know.
He was like the quintessential, like, worst dad ever, like, in the show.
And I think that might be a reason why we didn't watch it, because, you know, My parents certainly had reign over the television, what we watched and didn't watch. So maybe that was why, because I've always felt like they were against the, I don't want to say the dumb dad stereotype, but from what I understand, it's pretty much what
like
Al Bundy
100%.
Is.
He was like the quintessential, terrible, stupid, inept dad, like piece of garbage.
Right.
Like perverted, awful, you know, like every stereotype about a dad that, you know, you could think of. It's it.
And I remember him being a jock or something.
Yeah,
like
he
that.
Tried to live off his football. His football, high school football past was always talking about it.
Ah, high school. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So this next one, another classic, but, you know, a little rough around the edges, especially since how the series ended was on a tough note. But the series is actually coming back this year, and this guy is returning as well. So we'll see how it works out. Like, okay, so like over the past 20 years or so, I guess they work stuff out or something like that. I don't know. However, it's Dan Connor. From Roseanne.
Didn't he die in the show?
No, he didn't. He didn't die. He like went off with another woman or something like that. Like, he just straight up left Roseanne. And then I think the last episode, if I remember correctly, like, they, God, it was like the second to last scene or something like that. It's Roseanne in the living room, and she's on the phone with Dan, and he's like out in a payphone somewhere, and like it was super, super sad, and he was like, you know, like apologizing and being like, I'm sorry, but, you know, I gotta live my life and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it was just really sad. And then there was the credits scene. There was always the scene with the credits rolled over it. And I think it was Roseanne and her best friend, and then they cracked some joke, and then that was it. I think that was done. I think that was the last episode. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. What are they gonna do with this new one? Yeah. All right, moving on down the line to our number four, Carl Winslow.
Uncle Carl. Not Uncle Carl, but
which not Uncle That's Carl. No. That's another one where what was the name of the show?
Family Matters with Steve Urkel.
Family Matters. Yep, thank you. I do recall seeing, you know, actively watching the show, but it's not one that I remember a lot of. Like, I remember a lot of the storylines from Home Improvement. And I remember some of the storylines from Roseanne and that sort of thing, and some of the others that we'll go on to mention. But yeah, this one's a little faded in my mind.
You know, a classic TGIF show, part of the TGIF lineup. Carl was a cop. The show was actually a spinoff of Perfect Strangers. Yes,
Perfect Strangers.
Cousin Larry and Balky. Fine. No.
You totally lost me there.
Perfect Strangers. That's, you know, for you. But basically, Harriet Winslow, Carl's wife, worked where the guys from Perfect Strangers worked, and so they worked that into a spinoff. Everybody Steve Urkel.
So she was like a sub character of another show, and then they decided to do a spinoff. And it was just about, like, her family life, basically.
Yeah.
And that's where we got, Family Matters.
In Chicago. All right, cool. So Carl was a cop. So, you know, it was all about their family and then the annoying Steve Urkel nerd neighbor.
Right. All right. This one, we actually chatted a bit about, it was over text message. Should we include this person or not? But we ultimately decided yes. Uncle Phil from The Fresh Prince. Which, you know, to be fair, is Will's uncle. And yet, one of the greatest figures of all time.
He was dad to all the to his own family in the show. So obviously.
Yeah, to the other kids.
So he was the father in the show, so he kind of has to be in there.
So yeah, so he certainly counts. And I mean, I feel like, especially with Uncle Phil, you know, you could try to talk about his character and stuff like that, but everybody already knows. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was one of the most popular shows of all time, not just family sitcom or anything like that, but right up there with Seinfeld, which came a few years later and that sort of thing, you know. So Everybody knows right, who Uncle Phil is. This next one is interesting. Not a show that I grew up watching, but one that I have been ultimately aware of, and you can't discredit this one at all. Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch. So, another one, like Al Bundy, I know of him more than I know about him. But I mean, the whole theme of the show was not that the parents were flawless, really, but, you know, they had their experiences and they had their hand in, you know, just generally teaching the kids how to live a healthy life, that sort of thing.
With a combination family. Or, you know, whatever you want to...
Exactly.
However you want to refer to them.
Yeah. There is a term for that, isn't
there? Yeah, I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
I can't remember. All right. So our last two, and we'll go one at a time, but our last two are our cartoon character sitcom dads, which, like Uncle Phil was one, or like, should we include these two? Like, or, you know, cause we were trying to think of two more and they popped into my mind and are like, you know, they sort of count. They're not live action, but it's still a character that is portrayed on screen, you know, caring for a family, that sort of thing. But we will start off with the illustrious, the immortal,
probably the most,
even.
I feel like the most famous, maybe. Homer Simpson.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Homer Simpson is just, you know, it's 100% a comedy. It's rarely have I ever seen an episode of The Simpsons where he is the one who teaches a lesson to the kids. It's more like stuff happens to him, and the stuff that happens to him because he's an idiot is what ends up teaching the kids. Sometimes the kids inflict it on him, that sort of thing. And The Simpsons have grown way, way outside of just the core family members, you know, with the neighbors and all the townspeople and stuff like that, and all the relationships they have and all that jazz. Yeah. I mean, how can you not include him, basically?
You have to.
Yeah. And then our final one, bringing up the rear, but again, in no particular order,
because
we're not judging yet. We'll judge on the Twitter polls. Hank Hill from King
of the
Hill.
Damn it, Bobby.
Now, I said before I have not seen any of Married with Children, but I have a good sense of who Al Bundy is as a character, right? And I vaguely remember Carl Winslow, but still have, you know, an idea of what he's like as a character. As far as Hank Hill is concerned, I've really only experienced his character in, like, memes and GIFs on Facebook and stuff like that. So, just can you just explain King of the Hill to me? Because it just seems like a... Like, these are typical hillbilly-type people, and this is the life that they live.
I mean, he worked
basically
at a propane company for propane parts and accessories. And he had his son, Bobby, his wife, whose name I can't remember. And I think they had their niece. I don't think it was their daughter. I think it was their niece. I haven't watched King of the Hill in forever. I used to. But their son, Bobby, was like an idiot. And so Hank, you know, go through their family and all the dumb crap that would happen. And then Hank would sit out front with his three best friends against the fence drinking beers. Yep. Uh-huh. That's right.
Right.
Is like they'd go down the line just talking, drinking their beers. I don't remember how good of a dad he was or wasn't. I mean, he wasn't Homer Simpson.
You know, so the collective idea that I have in my head of all the, like, the memes and clips and stuff like that that I've seen, you know, across the internet of King of the Hill. He seems to be like just an everyday small town guy who cares a lot about his family, but either doesn't do much or can't do much, or it's like no matter what he does, you know, the family sort of not ignores him, but just kind of passes him off, essentially.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Maybe I'll have to go through and watch some episodes. But yeah, folks, that's our list. Once again, Tim Taylor, Al Bundy, Dan Connor, Carl Winslow, Uncle Phil, Mike Brady, Homer Simpson, and Hank Hill. So yeah, you're going to post those on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll do two different polls of four, of groups of four. And so the top two vote getters from each will advance to the semis. And I'll either do, I don't know if I'm going to do one or two polls. I may probably do two for the semis where it's a matchup of two, and then the winner of those will go on for the final poll.
Right. The championship, if you will. Yeah. And again, you follow us on Twitter at PBDadcast and also on Facebook, facebook.com/PBDadcast. And, you know, what we're looking for here is, you know, we call it Sitcom Dad's Fight Club. If you want to think of it, you know, when you're going through and you're thinking about each of the characters, if you want to think of it from the perspective of who could beat who,
yeah,
go for it, you know. But really what we're looking for is just almost like a favorites ranking. Like if you had Tim Taylor, Al Bundy, Dan Connor, Carl Winslow, you know, just rank them 1 through 4,
right,
essentially. And then, and then we'll just go from there.
And we will have the first, this round's results next week when we record. And we'll go from there.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. So, we got anything else until then? I mean,
that's it.
Let's see. I got my birthday this upcoming weekend. We're not planning anything crazy, but you know, I took the day off work.
And we'll have next week is a Super Bowl where the Eagles are in it. You know, probably next week we will talk about.
Oh, you're not even gonna say. You won't even say that they're going to win.
Fully believe that they will win.
Yeah.
No.
Well, lack of faith over here. What the hell?
They will win. You know, it's just didn't want to say it out loud. That's all. They have a great chance.
No, I understand. Which I should bring up on the podcast real quick before we bring it to a close. Something that I posted on Facebook yesterday. So, as we all know, as we were just talking about, the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. And as you were just discussing, you know, you don't say it out loud. You don't want to jinx it, basically. You know, it's superstitious, sure. But, you know, there's, in my mind, a 50-50 shot of superstition actually being true. So you might as well stick with it, right? So, November, I think it was. Was it November? Yeah, it's November. I finally bought Carissa, my wife, my lovely wife, a Carson Wentz jersey. She loves it. She likes it a lot. It's a little uncomfortable because she's never worn jerseys before. So she's, you know, she needs to wear like a turtleneck or something underneath it just to stay comfy, that sort of thing. But, it was, I think, 2 weeks after I gave it to her. I originally was going to give it to her on her birthday, which was early December, but I decided to give it to her early. And she, you know, it was, all I remember is that the Eagles won. It was a really good game. It was a really strong showing. You know, Carson Wentz just being a boss again. And it was after the game, and we're just sort of walking around the house, cleaning stuff up, that sort of thing. And she's just got this little smile on her face, right? I'm like, what are you smiling about? She's like, I think we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, shh, don't say that. You know, you can think that, but don't say it out loud. You know, you don't want to jinx it. She's like, I'm sorry. I have this like really strong, good feeling that we're going to make it. Like, oh my God. I didn't even know what to say to it at that point. We hadn't talked about it since. And then it's the third quarter of the NFC Championship game. We're sitting there and she looks at me and she's like, she gives me a little kick. She's like, I told you, didn't I? I'm like, what? It's like, I told you they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, no, don't ruin it. Case Keenum can still come back. He'll ruin us. Yeah. But yeah, so for the world to know, my wife, Carissa Mullen, the loveliest of all human beings, she knew it. She had that gut feeling and she knew it. And I also want to mention that since she has owned that jersey, the Eagles were 8-1.
Right.
There was the one loss, but I think that's because she was sleeping during the game. But, you know, I'm not going to pass judgment on that. but yeah, clearly the football gods, at least the Philadelphia football gods, are aligned with my wife. And that's a nice thing. It's a nice thing like that. Yeah. So go Eagles. And we'll talk about that again next week after we have the results of our contest here. And I hope everybody enjoys their week.
We'll see you guys next week.
Stay warm and don't forget to go vote. Twitter @PBDadcast.
Peace.
Do it.